Jonah, to me, it's a mind-blowing researching Jonah. So my professor in getting my master's in theology was Dr. Brant Petrie, who's this a wonderful scholar. And what is unique about him is that he always goes to the Jewish roots of things. He's a wonderful biblical scholar, but his understanding of the Bible, the canon, is enhanced by his knowledge of the Jewish commentaries on the Old Testament, the Midrash, and then the various Jewish laws that were particularly applicable in the first century, the Mishnah. So with Jonah, Jonah was discussed in the Mishnah. He's a prominent figure, and he was more prominent than I realized. So what my initial understanding of Jonah was that when he's belched up onto the beach of Nineveh from the belly of the great fish, God says to him, "Arise," kumi in the Hebrew. And that's a significant word in terms of resurrection throughout the Bible, and throughout the book. What I'm doing is basically talking about those figures to whom God said, "Kumi, arise." So
Which you
we
can
get.
already, anyone that has heard that scene, in the New Testament, because there's
Correct.
just like there's a few scenes in the New Testament where, for some weird reason, and when you reflect on it, you can realize why they give us the original words that Jesus used. They leave it untranslated, and you think, why on earth would you do that?
Yeah,
And
exactly. And
when
Jesus
Jesus says,
uses,
"Talitha cum."
right. And that's the Aramaic cognate for the Hebrew word kumi.
Wow.
So it, and then it also happens with St. Paul, but I'll get not to get ahead of myself. And so that word seems to be tied to not just arise, get up off the ground, but to rise from death to life. And so also in the New Testament, we see, "You wicked generation, you'll receive no sign but the sign of Jonah." So what is the sign of Jonah? Well, we know what happened to Jesus, that he died, that he very much legitimately died. He really died for 3 days and then rose again. And then immediately upon rising, the conversion and repentance began, right? That just like Jonah, Jonah would have died for 3 days, belched upon the seashore, he arose, and then he went into Nineveh, and immediately in Nineveh, the word spread and people began to convert and repent of their sins. And
So,
just to put a bow on that, I think it makes it a lot more sense if they immediately begin to repent upon seeing a man rise from the dead.
I've heard a lot of homilies. I've thought about a lot of things, read a ton, to where I could say, like, I've thought about this like a million and a half times, and I had never ever had anyone like make that connection that you just made. So if people knew all that, no one was telling me. Because the sign of Jonah, I thought, okay, the symbolic 3 days, he's living inside the whale, kind of like Pinocchio. I always thought it was like Pinocchio. We have that Disney sort of thing. But it doesn't make sense that they would convert unless, that completely, like that piece to the puzzle, you would wonder, why wouldn't people search for that piece? Like, why on earth would the whole city convert? No one can pull that off.
And when Jesus says, "You'll receive no sign but the sign of Jonah," he goes on to say, and there's two kind of important things happening here. He goes on to say, the men of the south will arise, and the queen of the south will arise." Right? This is, a side tangent there. That's also where Tolkien got the Dimmholt Road, right? The army that helped him fight in Gondor.
Yeah,
But anyway,
which
so
I,
it's
which at some point when I watched that movie, at least in my mind, I thought those are the souls in purgatory interceding for us, and so for me, visually, that's like my biggest kind of visual metaphor for like what can the souls in purgatory do for us, and I don't know if he was thinking that, you know, but it's interesting that so he actually did get that from the men of the South.
That's my supposition. But it really connects pretty well.
Yeah.
I wrote Lord of the Rings and the Eucharist, all the biblical connections for Tolkien. Mm-hmm. There's so much there, And there's even more than I've covered in the book. And it's not often covered. In fact, it's like rarely ever. When people talk about the theology of Tolkien, they talk about grace and virtue, but they shy away from it being anything more than an allegory, because he made that statement, you know, it's allegory, but then he went on to make a statement in his letters that the Limbus bread is the Eucharist, and upon revision, it became a distinctly Catholic work.
Yeah. And
so, I mean, I could go on, maybe we'll do another show on that. It's very interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, anyone who does, if you're able to see, you see, like, how could that not be Blessed Mother? How could that not be like a Pope-like figure? How could that not be? I mean, it's almost impossible, you know.
And when Jesus is saying you'll receive no sign but the sign of Jonah, he then talks about two other people that will, or groups of people that will arise from the dead. Like, he uses the same word arise to talk about them. And he's also speaking likely in the court of the Gentiles in this particular scene. And that's also the sign of Jonah, right? That Nineveh is full of Gentiles. And that's why there's that connection there. What was very interesting. In the book of Jonah, there's the canticle of Jonah. If you're doing Exodus 90 right now, that's what you read at the beginning. It's moved from Moses's canticle of the chariots being washed into the Red Sea to now Jonah's canticle at the very beginning of the book of Jonah. After he's swallowed by the great fish, he describes his body falling down beneath the waters, beneath the head getting wrapped in seaweed, beneath the roots of the mountains, all the way to Sheol. So he says, he even says, my soul fainted within me. He's describing his death and his soul going to Sheol. So, I mean, in very direct terms.
Yeah.
And so that's an NDE, right? That's his, and that's when I was researching this, I was like, okay, Jonah died and rose again. I sure hope he talked about what he saw when he died. Otherwise, I can't write the NDE, right? Because if he didn't describe it,
it puts Jonah in a whole new light, because, I mean, is there anyone else in the Old Testament that you know of that had an NDE that at least talks about it in that way?
There probably is. I just haven't found it yet, or someone else hasn't thought about it in this sense. Because I think this is a new intellectual framework, technique for analyzing the stories of the Old Testament. I think there's more, and these three I discussed were, to me, seem the most obvious.
Yeah,
but I'm sure there's more that we just haven't thought about yet. And it could be even more obvious.
I think it could be like a really encouraging message to people, because Jonah's always thought of as the prophet that ran away.
Yeah.
But isn't that amazing that even though he ran away, he still is like a prefigurement of Christ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be like a huge thing for people to think, hey, even though you've done terrible things, you could still be an image of Christ to others, and God wants, in fact, really wants to maybe even use you precisely for that reason.
And that's
because it makes a more compelling story. I ran away, I died, the whale spit me out. I mean, that's, who wouldn't convert upon hearing that?